It is already 10:31, so let's begin. Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Do you have the handouts? Do you have your source sheets? Whoever wants. Ah, please, look sure. Oh.
One. Now you gotta do a good job.
Yeah, wow. No pressure at all. So, today we're starting my last two shiurim about Shechinim for this year, unless we're carrying on Shechinim next year. I don't know, but I don't think so.
But we still haven't come up with anything.
Yeah, we might carry on. Shechinim by far is the most hot topic in Vatidin in Israel. Just this past week in my WhatsApp group of my neighbors in Yerushalayim, so a person took out a porch and he's blocking the light for a different house. I saw their complaints about people putting their bicycles and their baby strollers outside. It's a very, very important topic, so I thank you very much for learning this thing for the past year. Today, we're also so I want to actually to discuss it primarily today, these 2 weeks, something which is also very, very hot in the field of Shechinim in Israel, and that is regarding the payments of the Vaad Bayit. So I don't think people here in North America know more or less what Vaad Bayit is, but what is a Vaad Bayit? You have a building, and you have, like in my building, for instance, 22 tenants, and every single household has to pay a certain amount of money, and this money, so they pay the electric bills, they pay for the AC, for the oxygen, whatever they need to pay for in their house, in the public domain of the building, so I wanted actually to explore, but we're not going to do this today. I wanted to explore how do you calculate it, because the default in Israel is that you go according to the size of the apartment. So if you have a huge apartment, so in that case you have to pay a lot of money. And if you have a small apartment, you pay a small amount of money. And in my building, so it's very, very interesting, we have 12 small apartments and 10 huge apartments. And because of that, I pay the lower price. But the neighbors of the bigger apartments, which are, of course, much more wealthier because they had huge apartments, so they wanted to change the way of calculating it from the size of apartment to the amount of people to each household. They would split it equally, and they had a big discussion how to do it. Lemaise, that is something that I wanted to explore, but we're not going to do this today, because before we reach the Gemara that discusses how do you calculate city taxes, is it according to the house members, is it according to the amount of money that you have in the house, which is of course very, very... Sorry?
The caravan discussion.
The caravan discussion?
The caravan, the Shayara.
Yeah. No, so that is actually in Baba Kama, but yeah. Here actually, but regarding the wall of the city, so how do you pay it? So that is actually something that I wanted to see, but I started the Mishnah and came up a different topic, which was also very fascinating, and this is a thing that is also very, very, very hot in Israel, and that is the Tama 38 issue. What is Tama 38? So if you want, before we'll just see the halakha, so see the pictures that you have on page 3. Mine is black and white, but you have it in color, so this could be a game. Find the differences between the two buildings. It's the exact same building, but there is a project in Israel that the state allows you and will help you to do all kind of renovations, because these are old buildings and they don't there will be an earthquake, so the building won't survive. I mean, it will collapse. Chas v'shalom, lo aleinu. So the state, instead of building new buildings, so they say that we will enhance the building and we'll also allow you to do all kind of things. So you see that this is a much nicer building. This could be also a noise discussion. You see that they added more apartments and porches, and also they strengthen the building. So the law is that if the majority of neighbors want to do so, they might be able to force the rest of the neighbors to do so as well. And all the Batidin in Israel are discussing, is this halachically okay? Can the majority force the minority to do such a thing? Or maybe even one person could actually do it and force the rest of the building to do this, so because it's some kind of need of sakana, because if chas v'shalom, there will be an earthquake, so this could be a potential pikuach nefesh, maybe even one person could actually force everyone. So that's what I want to explore today, and we'll see obviously all kind of other things. Yeah?
But
you're now forcing the entire building to have this renovation, and it is disturbing me. So although I'm living in my apartment, but this is a very, very annoying thing that you have your construction around you all the time. So maybe you cannot force me.
Okay.
But maybe this is so dangerous, this hazard of earthquakes, that even one person could just say, listen, we have to do something and strengthen the buildings. Maybe that will be enough.
I have really the impression that some 38 had more to do with rocket attacks.
No, not necessarily. Actually, it does, because you also add mamadim, the mamad, but it's not only. I think it was primarily because of earthquakes. But you're right, because you also add a mamad. I'm not sure if you see it here. Mamad is merchav mugan dirati. It's a small shelter in your apartment. So that's true. I mean, you also could add that, but I don't think that was the primary reason of the mamad. And that, of course, also could be a person could say, "Well, there might be attacks."
The mamad is the law in Israel says that every new apartment that is built has to have a room that is safe for this kind of thing. So whenever they renovate the rooms or the apartment, they have to add it. But that's not the main purpose.
Ah, so when you say so, agav, because the gilgul, because
you build a new apartment, it has to have.
So if you renovate the apartment, you have to add that as well.
Not if you renovate your apartment, because they added new apartments to the building, they had to build an entire new section that is mamad.
It's another
section in the building.
So although I don't see here the mamad, but very interesting. It's not mentioned here, but I also don't see it. Sorry?
I just wanted to comment a couple of things. In Canada, the Vadabite is the condominium board. So condominiums here charge exactly the same way. It's a percent of the square footage of the whole building is what your fees are. So a bigger condo in the same building, a bigger unit in the same building pays more fees, therefore. And that's how it works. The other point is, Tampa 30, I always thought, because I've been hearing about Tampa 38 for at least 10 years now, Tampa 38, the real eager of the point was that there were not enough apartments to go around. So if you agree to adding a couple of more apartments, actually probably floors, to your building, then you go through this whole business of mamadim and strengthening and all that. But that's sort of, I always thought, and I'm wondering if I'm correct, that was sort of secondary to the ikar of the whole thing, which was more accommodation.
Well, so the incentive, I think, might be adding more apartments. And by that, you also have, A, more apartments for people, and also those who live in this building, so they are the bailim, they are the owners of these new apartments. And because of that, they will sell the apartments and they will gain a lot of money. So that might have been the incentive. And I think that the majority of people who actually do Tama do it because of this reason, because of the reason of getting more money. But the primary reason, according to the state, is because of earthquakes. It's not just because of the shortage of apartments. Although, the places that usually you find Tama will be in places which actually don't have enough apartments, like in Tel Aviv or in Gush Dan area, as opposed to other places that actually might have more of a risk of earthquake hazards, but still there are less Tamas there. So, in the end of the day, people prefer doing the Tama because of the financial reason, but the real reason of Tama to begin with is supposed to be because of the earthquakes. Anyways, so let's see how this actually comes and emerges from our sugya. So we learned this week the Mishnah in source number one, Mishnah Baba Batra, Matnitin, Kofim oto livnot beit shar vedelet lachatzer. Two people live together in the same yard, and so Reuven and Shimon live together in the same yard. Reuven could force Shimon to build for the yard a beit shar, a door. The beit shar is the place for the doorman to stay there in order to prevent people from peeking inside. So one neighbor could force his other neighbor to do so. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Lo kol ha-chatzerot ruyot le-beit shar. Not every single chatzah needs to have a beit shar. The Gemara explains which one that does need, which one doesn't need. This is not only regarding a yard, but also in the same city. Kofim oto livnot la'ir choma udatayim ubariach. If a person is not willing to pay the taxes for security, so he has to have a door, he has to have a lock, he has to have a wall. So yes, we could force him to build all these things because the city needs these things. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Lo kol ha-yarot ruyot. Every city in Israel needs to have this kind of wall. No, it's not so necessary. Just find a halacha in the Mishnah. Kama yeg ba'ir v'yeke anshei ha'ir yudbet chodesh. How long you have to be part of the town in order to be obligated in the taxes of the town? The Mishnah says 12 months. And so after 12 months, you have to pay. The Mishnah says, Kanaba Beidira, you already bought. Now, you just came, you just moved here to this new town, and you bought an apartment, so you're actually showing you're going to be here more than 12 months, so you don't wait for the 12 months. Immediately, Hareu Kan She'ir Miad, immediately you should pay, because we know very well that you're going to be here for the next 12 months. The post can also say that this is true also regarding rent. If you are renting your apartment or house for more than a year, so that's already enough for you to be considered as a person of the town, and you will have to pay the local taxes. Okay, so this is a very, very basic and simple Mishnah. One neighbor can force the other neighbor, we have to have a door, we have to have this beis shal, we have to have some kind of thing in order to prevent the hezek re'ia coming from where, says Rashi? Coming from those in Rishut HaRabim. I have to have the beis shal, this doorman to stay there, and he will prevent people from outside of the yard peeking inside and looking inside. So all the chronim ask, wait a second, this is very, very different than all what we just learned in Baba Batra. Usually we learned that Reuven is harmed by Shimon, so Reuven could tell Shimon, listen, I don't want you, Shimon, to look into my property, let's build together a wall. Because you're approaching the person who's actually harming you. Now what's happening? Reuven is approaching Shimon. Now listen, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zevulun, those who are walking in the street, they're peeking. So now they are harming me. I want you, Shimon, to build with me something. So the question is, usually you're able to force a person to not harm you. How can you force this person, your neighbor, to build something in order to prevent somebody else from harming you? That's the question. From where does this actually come from? So, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, in source number 3, in the Kovetz Shiurim, so he deals with it, and he says, בהד דקופים בני חצר זה את זה לבנות בית שער ודלת לחצר משום היזק שבני רשות הרבים. How does this thing work? How is it that they can force each other to build something in order to prevent damages from a third party? אפשר לפרש הטעם משום דחצר שיש לה דלת שווה יותר מחצר שאין בה דלת. ואם רצה למכור חלקו מוכרו ביותר, נמצא שלא חסר מוצאת הדלת, וחברו נהנה, וקופים עמידת סדום וכהי גבנה. רבי חיים וסרמן says a tremendous חידש, and he's not a posek, he's a Rosh Yeshiva, so the halacha may say this is not going to be accepted, but he says that since the yard is going to, our houses in the yard is going to be more valuable. The value of the house is now going to be higher because of this beit shal, this door. So I could force you to do so because by that, together we're going to have a higher price house. And it's worthwhile for you. You're not losing any money when you're going to invest in this beit shal because you're going to get your money back and much more because the value of the house is going to rise. So he says in this situation, a person could actually force the other person because of kofin al midat sdom. It's kind of a zene neve zolo chaser. You're benefiting from it. You're not going to lose anything. So in that case, I can force you to do so. Yeah. So that's why I'm very, very disturbed with this, Rabbi Chana. I absolutely agree with you. I brought here in sources 4 and 5, indicating that once you have even the slightest loss, it's no longer midas dom. The Gemara itself says shacholita de ashaita. If you have only smoke inside the house, or not even smoke, a bit of dirt of a person that actually lives in this house, that is enough to consider this actually a hefsed, and there's no longer kufin midas dom in that situation. The Rama says very, very clearly in source number 4, dekaimalan kufin midas dom. Yes, you could force a person in order to do something when he's actually not losing anything. But when? He's not losing in any single way. And even if it's a tircha, it's some kind of hassle because of you, I have to go to here, I have to do this, I have to do that. That is enough of a reason for me to object and not allow you to do this thing. So it's very, very hard to accept this chiddush of Rebbe Elchanan. I also brought here tshuva of the Chavos Yoyer that he brings about a case that there was a town that only a few gvirim had an esrog. So maybe we could force these gvirim to land the esrog after they're done. So go hand it around to other people. Why should you care? Zayin and lo chaser. But he says no. He says the fact that people are actually touching it, the mishmush, the mushing of the esrog, does something. So it's not something which is very, very terrible. The esrog will say kosher, but still, since vaday chaser, I talk be mishmush, yad, there is some kind of mishmush, he's touching the esrog, that's enough of a reason for you to tell you, no, I'm not allowing you to touch my esrog because I'm actually losing something. So we see that even with the minor, the slightest hefsed, that is enough of a reason for us to prevent you from doing something. Even though I might benefit from it in the future, but now I'm losing something, I think that's enough of a reason for it in order to prevent it.
Couldn't you make this argument for anything? What's a pristine case of Midat Stom where the other Kofin Midat Stom where the other party really absolutely loses nothing at all?
The brothers next to the field.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Brothers next to the field. Very good.
Where the father had property, one of the sons has property right next to it. And he wants that one. And we say, just like Ravuda is saying now, it has to be equal. All of them have to be equal.
Yeah. Contemporary example, a person sneaking on the bus because the bus is driving anyway, so in that case you could sneak inside.
Well,
because,
it's Kaimalagra.
Yeah, of course. It's Kaimalagra, and of course it's a Veseder, but in certain communities they might think it is Veseder, but Chas v'Shalom. But that, yeah.
In this case, the Midat Stom, so in comparison to our
we're not there yet, but okay.
At least you're going to have the dots, you're going to have people work on Tabali for the construction, all those things here. In the case of their Rabbi Lochanan, where it's okay, you're helping build the golden bar house to prevent people from Ruben, looking into Ruben's house. So Shimon's having lost, he's paying for it on the spot. So it's not like he's not losing anything temporarily, but we're saying there, in that case, I'll push off that temporary loss for the overall gain. But I don't see how that connects to...
So you're saying that we have to have a loss that will stick forever. Meaning the esrog will lose something, it'll be forever. Here, it will sometime balance.
Otherwise, it's not really considered a loss. That's the whole idea. It's actually considered a
gain. I hear you're saying, maybe that's the sort of a chamasrman, that in the end of the day, after we'll balance things up, it will actually be a profit without any chaser at all.
Versus in the case we'll get to tension later.
Yeah.
Again, even if there will be happen, right?
I hear it could be.
I hear.
That could be pshat. Anyways, he himself doesn't seem to be very compelled with this idea, because he says that makes sense, maybe regarding the Beit Shah, but he says, Mihu behad de kofim, I'm back in source 3 in the fourth line, but behad de kofim, b'im avo zed zed asot lechi, koral amavoi, lichora lo she'achtam ze, because we do know that people in the same chatzir could force each other to build all kinds of things that you need for the sake of an eruv. And in that case, the value of the apartments of the houses won't increase.
Why not? I prefer
very good,
ahead
very good Taina. Very good Taina. I think nowadays in a Jewish community, you're 100% right.
Sure.
I think maybe it was true maybe back in the day. I don't know, places that you had non-Jewish neighbors, but in that case, how did you force them to pay for it? I'm sure that they weren't willing to pay for the Erev. But I agree with you. I think that that's not much of a taina. So he says that maybe the reason why you could actually do that is because of a mitzvah. That person could force his friend to do something in the sake of a mitzvah. Shema'atam b'chol elu also ulechi koram avoy, maybe also beit shar. Is not because of the value of the house, because I could force you to do a mitzvah. V'lo mishum she'abud mamon, yom shmat ha'chaser, behizek hi mitzvah, kmo bera mayim shotfim ubaim. This is like a Shabbos Saveda. I know that I'm going to lose something, so let's build something, and for the sake of a mitzvah, for the sake of a Shabbos Aveda, so let's pay and have now, yeah?
Will that be also valid in a case where it's not only, you don't only want his money, but you want him to do something in his property? For example, you want him to renovate his property, or you want him to... We talked about a little bit, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the case of, for example, a sukkah, where someone that builds a very ugly sukkah in
yeah,
his own backyard,
yeah.
For example. So even for the sake of mitzvah...
Well, so we have to define it as some kind of nezek.
Yeah.
We have to define some kind of nezek.
I'm saying,
but again, here,
no problem,
usually you are harming me. I'm forcing you to do a mitzvah. Save me from the harm that is coming from people that are coming. And this is a very big chiddush. And he Rav Chaim Vassar knows very well that Shabbos Aveda usually is for free. You cannot, you don't have to pay in order to save someone's aveda. But he said that since also he's gaining from it, only then I could actually force.
I know, just because if we redirect what he says at the end, that they don't have lotzim mamon mishelo. He's talking about lotzat mamon from himself. But if we're talking about something,
so according to Chanan, if you are harming me, yes, you have to pay for stop harming me. If someone else is harming me, so only if it's saving you as well. In that case, I could force you. But if it's you only saving me, so for Hashem Shaveda, there is no chiyuv of spending money. I also brought here in the footnote that the source of saving people in halacha is from Hashem Shaveda, and we need the pasuk of Lo Ta'amod Adam Re'echa only to add that you also have to spend money for it. So that's again another source showing that for Hashem Shaveda, there's a mitzvah to do so, but you don't have to spend any money for it. And that's why for saving people, you have to have another pasuk of Lo Ta'amod Adam Re'echa to teach you also spend money to save other people. So at the end of the day, the question was, how is it I could force my neighbor to build something in order to prevent the damages caused by other people? The reason is, either because the value of the chaser is now getting higher, and that also influences you, and also another reason because maybe of the sake of the mitzvah. That is according to Rabbi Chaim Wasserman. The Divrei Malkiel says more or less like the Nesivis, so maybe I'll just leave that. I'll say him quickly, and then we'll see the Nesivis. The Divrei Malkiel, I forgot his name. What is his name?
Tenenbaum.
Rav Malkiel, I assume Malkiel. Yeah, Malkiel Tenenbaum. So he says that the reason why I could force someone because every partner in the partnership could force his partner to do something which is for the benefit of the partnership. We are both partners in something, and now I see that we should invest in something that will enhance our business, so I can actually force you to do so. As he says, Yechol lachufet kulam lasot kivan shu tzorech hashutafut. And he says, the same thing says also the Nesivis. The Nesivis says, very, very similarly, he actually says the same thing, but he says not only partners, every single person. But let's see. So he says, since we're partners, and this is for the sake of our partnership, for our products, whatever it is, so I could force you to do so. Where does this come from? Let's see the Shulchan Aruch in Source 7. The Shulchan Aruch in Source 7, Siman Kuf Ein Ched, this is part of the halachos of shutfin, of partners. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Shutaf shi'ara letoch sadeh ha-meshutaf ve'avada chashuv ki'oret birshut ve'notel kedin arisei ha'ir. We are partners in a field. Partner A, Reuven, comes and starts planting things, starts doing all kinds of things for the sake of the field. I have to pay for him for what he did, because this is considered to be what's called yored birshut. There is the halacha of yored shelo birshut. The person is coming without me inviting him, and he started to improve my field. I don't have to pay him entirely, but since we're partners, he's considered to be a yored birshut. You're coming with permission into my property and doing things in order to increase the value of our shared property. So in that case, I have to pay you. However, if I explicitly protested and said, no, I don't want you to come and start planting new trees in our field. He says, Reuven said, no, Shimon, do not do these things. If this is something which is completely necessary, so in that case, I cannot stop you. And I have to pay as if he is a worker that I hired. If it's something which is not necessary, I could say, listen, I don't need this plant in our yard. It's not so necessary. Don't do it. So in that case, you could stop him. But if this is something which is absolutely necessary for the sake of our partnership, for the sake of our business, product, whatever it is, so in that case, he could force me and do it, and I will have to pay him. As the Nesiva says in source number 8, Imu davar she'i efshar milivnot. This is something that you have to build. You have to do this thing. Dehainu, he gives an example. Shebayit hameshutaf omed lipol. Veshutaf i efshar limot chelko ad shivne gagan chelek chavero. Let's say, lo aleinu, a building collapsed, and now we cannot build the building unless all of us together are building. And one of the partners is not willing of building this building. I could force him, and he has to participate. And we're going to take money from his bank account. He cannot say to me, you know what, build my house and live there until, I don't know, until the rent already covers my debt. No, he has to build it immediately, because once we are partners, and this is completely necessary for our partnership, I can force you to do so. Yeah?
How does this relate to the case of the Baisa Aliyah? that's mm-hmm. falls down, you build the vice and then just live there?
Amazing. That's the following paragraph. And he says to you, he says, Rav Shainis, Eilak Shot! You should not ask that question. Listen to the Sivas. Because you see in the Aliyah that in that case, if two floors fell, so the person who lives in the bottom floor cannot force the person from the higher floor. Sorry, the opposite. I live in the higher floor, and so I cannot force the person who lived in the lower floor. Listen, build your house, and now I'll build above you. No, he could say to me, you know what? You have to build an apartment. Just build it as a first floor, and that's it. And his claim is right. So says the Nesivis, this is not similar at all. Why? Because the sham gabe bait ve'aliyah yochol lomar ba'al bait ba'al aliyah ma'alecha lichpot. Because the person who lives on the bottom floor says, listen, why do you need to live on the top? Live on the bottom. If that is today a good claim, I'm not sure. But he says, listen, you don't have to live all the way here. Live here. So that guy's, it's fine. מה שאין כן קם, in our case, שצריך הוצאות יתרים, כיוון שמוכרח לבנות חלק שניהם, this is kind of a house that you need him. It's not a bais ve'aliyah. Somehow you have some kind of, let's say it's a house that has been completely built, and I'm in one room and you're in the other room, so you have to have some kind of thing together. We have, let's say, a public, I don't know, kitchen, a public, I need you. So, since I need you, it's absolutely necessary for me to have you as well. So in that case, I can force you. So it says in the Sivis, when we are partners, and now I'm going to lose something because you're not investing, so in that case, I could force you. Because I need you for this thing, so in that case, I could force you to do this. Okay? And then says in the Sivis, very importantly, as opposed to Rav Malkiel, Tenenbaum, in the different Malkiel, he says, they don't have to be partners. No. Even if they're not partners, if they don't have the same household, כל שיש דבר שהוא מוכרח לשניהם, ואין האחד רוצה לעשותו, יכול השני לכפותו. Something which is completely necessary for the both of us, and you're not willing to participate, I can force you to participate.
I have a hard time understanding, how can we say something is necessary for both of them if he doesn't want to? If he doesn't want to, maybe it's not necessary for
him. No. The fact that you don't care that everyone's seeing you in your yard doing private things, so the halacha decides this is necessary. Human nature decides this is necessary. Human behavior decides this is necessary. The fact that I'm moichel about all kinds of things, it doesn't matter. I need you for this thing. We'll see an example of people kept captive. Okay? And they're getting beaten up every single day. And one person is doing all kind of ma'amatsim, he's all kind of efforts, he's investing a lot of money in order to free himself, and for some reason he has to also free his friend. So it says, his friend can say, you know what, I don't care, I don't mind staying here, being beaten up all day long, it's fine for me. No! This is something which is objectively something that is needed for both of us. So once this is needed for both of us, and I need you in order to get out of the prison, or I need you in order to build this building, I could force you to do so.
What? It's really two needs.
What?
It's really two needs. Number one, I need whatever it is that what this project is a necessity for me. And number two, I have to do it for you also. It's not divisible.
Yeah. If I could have done it alone, so you're right. Like the case of the Bais of Elia, as Roshan said. If you can now build a separate apartment without the need of him, okay, do so. Yeah, although you won't be the second floor, you'll be the first floor. But still, is that example clear? I'll just remind the case that Rav Daniel said. That the case there is, you have two apartments, one above each other. Bait ve'aliyah, a bait, and a first floor and a second floor. They collapsed. The person who lives on the second floor can force the person of the first floor, build your house, and then I'll build above your house. No, you want a house, you don't need me, just build it. As the first floor. So in that case, I cannot force you. But if, in order for me to build my house, for some reason, I need you as well, so in that case, I can force you. So if it's something which is needed by everyone, so in that case, I could force you. So again, and also in the fifth paragraph, Siman Reish Mechdalid, the same thing, two people were kept captive, they were in some kind of prison, they were in the Chevy, and in order to get out, so Reuven and Shimon, again, Reuven and Shimon are kept captive, they're in the prison. Reuven did a lot of things, and he managed to get money, and they are both released. And the person, and Shimon says, I didn't want to leave. So if indeed he didn't need Shimon to get out, Shimon has a claim, maybe he has to pay Dmei Hanah. But he has a certain claim. Dmei hanah, how much he benefited from it, but not necessarily the amount of money. But if for Reuven to get out, he needed a Shimon, he has to somehow, for some reason, they're both connected in this, this is a deal only with both of them together, so in that case, Shimon has to pay for him. Because in order for me to get something, I need you, and this is absolutely necessary, so in that case, I could force you to participate as well. This is the piece of the Sivas, which is very, very fundamental and important, that he says, if it's something which is absolutely needed, so in that case, I could force you to do so as well.
Right. Isn't that, that's in the case where to do that venture, he needs to, like, he needs him to do it, but just, you're not differentiating from whether he needs that at all.
Meaning?
Like, in the case of, let's say, the apartment, he's saying, I need you to build the apartment, therefore I can force you, but let's say, what if he has an apartment somewhere else? He doesn't need the apartment, but to build the apartment, he
needs it. So you're asking, it's not a need for you right now, just in order to make it, so we'll see, that it's not necessarily a need for myself, but for this thing, we need to fix something. We have to save our property, our shared property from a nezek. That's also considered to be a need. It's not necessarily I need a place to live. It also is that, listen, we are in this business together. We are both partners in this building, in this house. Listen, I don't want to lose. Losing something is considered to be a need. Very good, Taina. Losing something is considered to be a need. Even though I have other places to live, I'm very, very rich, but still, since I'm losing here something, in order to prevent a loss, that is considered to be a need. He says it very, very importantly also here that, let's say, a house fell, and now we have the field, and you can't do anything else with this field other than building houses on it. You cannot plant any trees there, you can't plant there any fruit or vegetables, you can't do anything. So this is the purpose of the field. I don't want to lose the field. So in that case, I can force you to build there in a house. Because again, since we are partners, and not even partners, this is something which is a complete need for this property, I can force another person to participate. So, with this rule of the Nesivis, and the Nesivis is halach levais as opposed to Kovitz Shiurim, so the Chashuki Chemed, Rav Zilberstein, we discussed this a bit throughout the week, he is bringing this scenario that there was a building that had many apartments, and they had two elevators. And this was a very, very not sophisticated elevator system, that what you did was that you had two elevators. Today, if you press a button, so the first elevator which is available comes to you. But back in the day, in this elevator system, so you had two separate buttons for each elevator. You wanted this elevator, so you had to press that button. You wanted this elevator, you had to press that button. And people were not patient, so they always came and pressed two buttons. And then the elevators came no matter what, and it was just a waste of money, because you're always activating two elevators to come to you instead of one. So now the neighbors say, listen, this is just a waste of money. Let's change the elevator system to one button, and then the elevator will come. So can the majority, or can they force each other to do so?
Wait, we're sure that the money that needs to be spent in order to change the system is cheaper than the money that we pay.
That's the eventually it will be.
Davka shtishtalim lo basof. It'll be paid back
someday. It will be. I mean, it might take a few someday, years.
But when I'm living in the building, or maybe my grandchildren. When
basof,
I'm
obviously. Basof.
No, there's
difference. I hear. So I assume that is dependent on the shikul dat of the basin. Okay, but
the machinery too. I mean, that's his case.
Yeah, but it makes sense that this thing will. I mean,
it exists.
I mean, changing a program in the elevator, I assume, could be a few tens of thousands of shekels, but a high electricity bill could be 1,000 shekels per month. Well, I assume that around 6 years, it might be already worthwhile. I don't know. More or less. Yeah, but he's right. He's right. If it would be worthwhile another 100 years, of course not a time. I hear. So that is already according to the shikul das of the base. They will decide if this is worthwhile or not. So he says, the Chashuki Chemed of Zilberstein. So he says, so I'll tell you what. He presents the Nesivis, knowing that you're allowed to force your neighbor not for increasing the value, but only for preventing loss. So let's see. לאור זאת, יש לבחון כיצד יתייחס להתקנת הפיקוד האוטומטי. האם הוא נחשב להשבחה, ואז אי אפשר לחוף את זה את זה? Maybe this thing is not a saving from damage. It's not preventing damage. It's only increasing the value of the apartment. So in that case, I cannot force you to do that. I can't do that, like Rebbe Elchanan. או שמא נחשב למניעת היזק, בזבוז חשמל. והרי הוא כברז דולף מים, שתיקולו נחשב למניעת היזק. This could be equivalent and like a leak in the building, and you're losing water, fix the leak. You have here a leak of electricity, close the tap of electricity. How do you do that? By changing the mechanism of the elevator. So he explores this question, and his taina is that no, this is not considered to be, because this building came already with this mechanism. This was built with this mechanism. And he says, it's not considered to be fixing a damage, but rather you bought to begin with a poor quality a product. That's what you have. You have things which are which use more electricity. You have things that use less electricity. You, by accident, or not, you buy the more expensive one. It was a big mistake, but this thing is not considered to be fixing something. Fixing something is when you got something and it broke, or you want to prevent it from being broken, so now you can force him to fix it. But here, you got already to begin with something like that. Sorry?
It's an upgrade.
Yeah, this is an upgrade. And an upgrade, in that case, you cannot force. So yeah.
In that case, with the doorman or whatever it was, the doorman of the fence, would that be an upgrade or a fix?
Oh, very good. So he says, very, very good. So he actually, I think, says it. He says, velodami, this is not similar to the case of the doorman and the door. Very good question. Why? Although when you bought the house, there was no door and there was no doorman. So he says, no. He says, כשקנו את הדירה ידעו שיש בה חיסרון שאין דלת. The fact that there's no door there is not a poor quality something. This house is defected and you have to fix this thing. A house is not a house without a door. A yard is not a yard without a doorman. You have to have this thing. So you actually bought something knowing, okay, they're going to fix this door. They're going to fix this doorman. I bought a house with a leak. Okay, this is something which will be fixed. As opposed to this thing, so this was a full functioning elevator system. It was just a poor idea to choose that one for Talatei Mashma, because they lost a lot of money, and because of that, he says, so you cannot force each other. That's what Rav Zilberstein wants to say in this example.
So, can I ask you a question?
Please.
Partnership, a co-op, a commercial lease, all these rights, assume all these rights and interests that your share is talking about today are in those agreements. But lechatchila, you have freedom to contract out of halacha. So do I have to make my partnership agreement according to what we're learning today, or my commercial lease?
Not necessarily, because we're going to see that the contemporary Dayanim in Israel say that every single person that buys a house, he is buying according to meaning. So what Mr. Silver here is asking is now that we're learning all these halachos, maybe we have to now put it inside our basic contract when a person buys a house. And all the condominiums, at least under Jewish management, should be according to these halachos. So I'm saying that it's not necessarily, because at least in Israel, even in the most firm communities, so many say that when a person buys a house, he buys it according to Minag HaMedina, which will be according to what's called the Tekanon HaBayit HaMeshutaf, the regular law of condominiums and apartments and apartment buildings. So no, not necessarily. And we can agree about other minhagim. There is this concept of minhag medina. There is a concept of us agreeing beyond halachic requirements.
That's what I'm asking. There's freedom to contract.
You can say, listen, you want to join us? You should know, that kenat mishtatef, you're becoming a partner of us in the building with these minhagim.
Okay, thanks.
No, pleasure. Yeah.
In the continuation of this, right, or somewhere in there, doesn't he make he makes a distinction between whether they're coming,
maybe I cut off certain pieces, yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, but he makes a distinction between whether, Stephen, I saw this, right? He makes a distinction between whether this is the initial construction phase, in which case they can force. Let's say they're building a credit
they're
right
now. Building something.
Now they're choosing. What should we do? Should we have
that's right.
Benefit?
That's right. That's right. That could be. Yeah.
So the reason, what would the reason for that?
So here is something else. Here it means that we're now doing something together as a whole. See source 13, that when the tzibur wants to do something together, so you go according to the majority. So we decide now to build something new. How should we do it? The majority has the power to do so. But once it's already fixed, not always, the majority could do something which is beyond the minhag v'dina. So now you want to now fix, change the entire building to something fancy. No, you can't do that. But now we decided to do something together. So the majority can do that, as long as it is according to minhag v'dina. Okay. Just another example of something which could be considered to be a necessity and a damage if you don't do so, which is very surprising. So Shulchan Aruch says again that the Halacha Maaseh in source number 10, Bnei Ha'ir kufim zed zed livnot delet v'char l'chatzer, they can force each other to build all these things. Kol davar sheyesh lem tzorech gadol, o dvarim shenagu bnei hamdina, something which is great need. Or even if it's not great need, but this is something which is the usual common minhag medina. So I can actually force you to do so because this is minhag medina. I can force you to do so. And says Rav Vosner in source 11, Shul Shevet Levi. So he says, "La'niyut dati bezman hazeh shehashchenim garim biyachad bebatim kanal pshita detiach v'siyud ubichal dvarim nitzachim v'nohagim v'v'chatzer lo hayem makpadim al zeh." He says that today, nowadays, in order to do a new siyud to paint
plaster,
your house,
plaster. It's plaster, but it really means a paint job.
A paint job in the house. So in the apartment building, yes, maybe this is a necessity. This is absolutely disgusting.
But that's what it's for also. Paint has two purposes. It's color, but it's also protection for the surface.
Wasn't that the name of the shear? Plaster or... I don't know how it was. Shear number two, I think. Plaster
or
something.
Plaster or plaster.
I don't know, something like that. No, Baruch Hashem. But he says also, let's say putting lights in the Chadam Adagot, in the public property to put their lights. Every single house needs this thing. This is something which is a complete necessity. Everyone can force each other to do so. Okay? So at the end of the day, what the halacha that I want to learn from here is that partners, or even not partners, neighbors, can force each other to do things which are absolutely necessary, and I need you in order to do it. Okay? So now let's discuss the Tama case. The Tama case. So a bit of a background, I brought here a part of a pamphlet of the Tama, how it actually works. So again, the purpose was chizuk batim meshutafim mipnei reidot adama. That's the source of the law of Tama, and you could also add a few units. Just again, see the pictures. You see that they have an extra two floors. They have now porches. It's much nicer. They get a lot of things, but the primary reason of doing this thing is because you have to strengthen the house from the danger of earthquakes. So you have two ways how to strengthen the building. If you do chizuk ve'ibuy, just strengthen it, and that's it. And you're also adding a few more apartments. So how many people you need in the building in order to agree upon this? So the law is you need 100% of people. Everyone needs to agree for this. However, if 2/3 agree on this, 66%. So in that case, you go to this person called Hanifakeh al Batim Meshutafim. I have no idea who this person is. But this is the inspector of the condominium. How's it called? The joint Batim Meshutafim. This inspector, and he will think about it. And then if he decides it's okay, so the 66% could force the remaining 33%. That is when you want to only strengthen the building and have 66%. And if you want to now destroy this entirely and build a new apartment entirely, not really sure this is Pinu Bidu, I think it's something else. So in that case, you have to have, again, 100%. But if 80% want it, so again, they go back to this inspector, this Mifakeach, and he will decide, yes or no, whether to stay in this apartment or not. So that is the law. So the question is, do we even need a majority? I mean, let's say that the building goes now to Din Torah, which happens a lot, instead of just going to this, I mean, of course, also the inspector, but they go to the interior saying, listen, we feel this building is not strong enough. If there'll be an earthquake, it's way too dangerous. We have 22 tenants. Only one tenant says, listen, but if the building will collapse, this is affecting my family, my household as well. Can he force the rest? That's a very good question. And let's say this is again a 100% from building, and 66% decided yes, they want to do this thing.
But it's also not in a 100% true mezek. You don't know if it's really going to happen one day.
You're right. But still, since there is a concern, and the law does allow me to do so because they feel that this is not protected for earthquakes. So,
is that the case of like the requirement which city to get a wall in the end? Like,
sorry? Oh, so you're saying, maybe this is actually like asking for a wall.
Correct.
Ah, so you're saying it depends which city could demand a wall.
We say that we don't care which city.
So the fact...
Even the one that's in, it's really far inside, that who's to say that's going to be attacked? It's like...
Okay, it's a good svara. It's a good svara. I mean, yeah, so maybe it depends where you live. The fact that the law permits you to do so, maybe that's actually proving that it is actually a dangerous place. You want to say something?
Well, I would say just things push back. But as much as I can understand, like, you don't know when an enemy will come to attack your city or attack your country, and you don't know when an earthquake will happen. One is, by definition, possible to at least on some level figure out from military perspectives.
That's right.
And so bad, which is why, you know, people are talking about ourselves.
Yeah.
More than 100 years since the last earthquake, and therefore we have to do these things. It's possible we'll never come to this area. It's not in the right valley.
Hopefully, that's right.
And therefore, okay, it's nice you want this, but the fact that you're psychologically bothered by something that is a theoretical,
okay.
Why is it enough to be called
out? Okay.
I would also say, because that's what happened in my grandparents live in an apartment that did in the building.
They did come in the building. Okay.
So what happened back then, it took 16 years. What happened back then, there was one or two tenants that said, we want to have the tema, but we don't want to have this constructor, we don't want the building to look like that, so many times the refusal is not because someone doesn't want it, but he doesn't want it that way.
Yeah, so actually, I did find some kind of article that discusses which kind of hitnagdut, objection, is something that we'll take in consideration if it comes to Beis Din, and which kind of will not. So I don't remember exactly regarding that case, but there are all kinds of things.
Would there be enough kamina? Why is the refusal?
Yeah.
Is it because I don't want to know?
No. So let's see. I mean, if indeed this is something which is dangerous, so in that case, you don't even need 66%. According to the Nesivis, we just learned, listen, if the building will collapse, so I don't care that 21 tenants don't care about.
I want
to be saved.
My cousin is a great.
Okay, so that is a separate. That's a separate din udvarim. We want tama. Okay, now there's a question: how do you decide which constructor? That's something else. But here, the question is: can I force everyone to now have some kind of construction, or not?
I mean, that would fall into the question of like the big. If you have proper bad buy, then they'll be like, and then, or let's say like the Korean board type thing, like where you vote on things, like you will never have to be fully agree. That's why you vote. Then if he loses, you vote. Like the one guy, like I want my cousin to do it. It's like, I'm sorry, but. Everybody else would rather go with
the
other guys.
And also the votes. So, seeing back in Source 13, that when we go according to majority, they have to say their opinion, L'shem Shemayim. L'shem Shemayim. I mean, there's a crime in, don't think about your cousin, think about something. But he says, I think about my cousin, L'shem Shemayim. And then that's L'shem Shemayim. Okay, so.
It's possible to say that it's dependent on focus, but building a Chama.
That's what Rav Messer just said.
Okay,
yeah.
But, okay, so it is dependent on that. Because
maybe.
It's still happening even if you're not.
Yeah, so I'm saying that the fact.
It's in with earthquakes.
Sorry.
You're in a place where earthquakes are very rare. So maybe it should only apply in a place where it's
okay,
common.
So,
but if they're rare, the equivalent of not being close to a spot.
Yeah. So a question that was already raised here twice is that maybe this is dependent of the opinion of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel in the Mishnah, who says not every city needs to have a wall. So in that case, not every building needs to have this Tama project. And you'll have to just find out how much of a danger is there. Right. I'm saying that if the law says that this building needs to have enhancement, so I assume it is considered to be a ear that needs a Choma. I assume so.
I don't think Mamad impact this thing.
So the Mamad...
You could say, okay, you'll have the chizuk from the binyan itself, earthquakes, but now to force me to have to pay you an extra. So there's Mamad in my room, plus the longer construction.
Of course. One could suggest that the Sderot, Ashdod, Ashkelon area is much more dangerous. Hopefully not. Hopefully everyone will be safe everywhere. But then other places in Israel. So yeah, that could be a claim. So let's see the opinion of the contemporary Beis Din, Batei Din. So in Source 12, this is a collection that actually discusses a lot about Tama. It's called Otzar HaMishpat. And you have the article of Hagaon Rabbi Yehuda Silman. That was how he is called there in this book. That's why I call him. He is a Gaon. Rabbi Yehuda Silman. He's the current Av Beis Din of Beit Din Tzedek Bnei Brak, also known as the Beis Din of Rav Nissim Karelis, since he passed away. Maybe he even is his son-in-law. I don't remember. Of course, Hashem Shemayim. But if I'm mistaken, he is the Avizin there. And he says that certain poskim say that nowadays, yes, one could force the other. Why? Because of the Nesivis. Even a single person could come to the Bezin and say, listen, we have to have a Tama because there's a danger. All the building is now putting my life in risk and I have to strengthen the entire building. So all of you guys have to now participate. So maybe even one person would be enough. So he says, "Me'ata yesh ladun ha'im tama shemeshwan enechshav esroch muchach shkufim alav olo." He says, "Let's figure out is this a need or not." So he says something which I think is very very easy. I think you could argue about it. He says, "Kol tzorich meshutaf ha'echrichiyut elav nikvat lefi kama anashim ro'im bo tzorich u'me'inyanim bo." He says, "There's no way to have an objective need." So how could you actually figure this out? If the majority of people in the world, I assume, feel that this thing is a need, so only then it becomes a need. That's what he wants to say. So back to your question, maybe people seeing me without any privacy in my yard is okay. No, the majority of people would say that this is actually a need. So in that case, this is a need that I could actually force you to do so.
We have objective standards for measuring if the building needs something.
How? Okay, so if there's a crack, I think everyone will agree. Listen, this is now about to fall. Okay, but now, listen, this might happen in the future, in Earth, we don't know.
Our point here is that the building will be standing up. Right now it's fine, but we can see that there's starting to be already something that's going to happen. You have objective standards for that.
Okay. But anyways, he says, Lanudati, קשה לומר שתמה, just say about it because we have only 9 minutes left. But he says, I think that's very hard to say that tama is a tzorich muchach. He says, because you don't see people being afraid all day long from an earthquake. You don't see people trying to fix their houses. You don't see people running to do a tama. If you'll see the number of people that actually do the tama, so it's not a lot. I actually had a number that I wrote down yesterday. I don't remember where I put it. But like out of, I think, 1,600 buildings that were considering to do so, only like 300 did it. So it's not enough for people to say that this is something which is really a concern. And the majority of people who actually go and do so, they do it because of the financial benefits. And now they get more apartments. People want to live in these places. So also the state wants people to live in these places. And they want to get more money. And he says, if you'll notice, the places where they have the most tamas are not in the places that have the most risk of earthquakes. It's for some reason the exact opposite. I would have assumed that places that are close to the Shever Suri Africai. I don't know how to say it in English, but there is a
Rift.
Sorry?
Judeo-Syrian Rift.
The Judean Syrian Rift.
Yes, don't worry about it.
Okay, so it's a certain place in the Middle East that is actually the place where there is the biggest concern that there will be an earthquake, or if there will be an earthquake, they will be the most affected by it, because it's the closest place, I don't know, with the Luchot Tachtonim, very, very dangerous place. So he says, those places, you'll barely see Tama, because why? Because those places are usually much cheaper in Israel, as opposed to Gush Dan, and all the Tama are in Ranana, Tel Aviv, and Givat Shmuel, not Givat Shmuel, because I think it's a new town, relatively, but maybe it goes to Givat Shmuel, in places where it's actually financially much better to do so. So in that case, clearly, this is not a risk. He also adds and says, if indeed it was this big risk of an earthquake, which, by the way, could very much be, says that it happens once in 100 years, in Hashem Yishmor V'Yatzil, we might be getting there, lo aleinu, but he says, we don't see the state investing money in order to save, to strengthen schools and kindergartens. So he says, it cannot be that this is a real risk. So I actually checked how much the state is investing in strengthening schools and kindergartens. So in 2008, they put aside 3.5 billion shekels in order to fix 600, so 600 was not the Tamas, 600 school buildings. And 10 years later, they actually fixed only 50. 50 out of 600. So,
using the same
sorry, 1600. I don't know, maybe using the same money. I don't know. And I saw another study that in 2021, they said that 44% of all the schools in Israel are not strong enough for buildings. So when you make Aliyah, B'zal Hashem, very soon, just make sure which school you send to. That B'zal Hashem, everything will be okay.
It's more like a question of like this, people being lazy fiscally doesn't mean that the risk is there.
So, but he says, that shows that this is not a real risk.
This is the way we calculate risk in halacha. Meaning we have a lot of precedent for how you evaluate whether you're allowed to take a certain risk or not. And it's very often whatever normal practice is.
Yeah, normal practice. In fact, people are not running to do so. It shows it's not so. Sorry?
Yeah, I mean, there's more to be said. You know,
that is really a concept of Shemil Psey Moshe, maybe even, yeah. Maybe
people aren't worried about it.
You're right.
And they don't see it as a risk.
Yeah, could very much be. So according to Beis Tzedek Bnei Brak, Rav Silvan, he says so I didn't see the article about the 66%, but he says no, time is not a good reason. It's not something normal to do, and people are doing it only for money. But people here are actually losing things because of that. So in that case, for sure, one person cannot force the others to do so. I think he also says. My feeling is that also the majority cannot force the minority to do a tama halacha lemais. That is according to Rav Silman. However, we have on the other side, Beit Din in Yerushalayim, Darki Torah, led by Rav Asher Weiss. And he has a shir that I highly recommend to hear. It's on YouTube in Kol Lashon. I also brought here a link. And he discusses Tama 38. He emphasizes that this shir is given after Meron. And after the case in Karlin, when the paranches fell, so he said that we have to be much more careful in things regarding Pikuach Nefesh, and because of that, he says that yes, that we should allow the 66% to force the Tama. His reason is, he says, maybe not because of the Nesivis, maybe not because of the Nesivis who says that for the sake of a need, a person could force another person, but maybe we could, because of Source 13, that the majority could force the minority to do things. In Source 13, as they said, kol tzorkei tzibur, every need that the public needs, she'inam yicholim la'ashvot atzmam, that they cannot decide whether they want it or not, so yesh loshivit kol ha'balebatim, everyone together have to sit together, and those who pay the rent, the mas, the vat bayit, and then everyone will say their opinion, l'shem shamayim, v'ilchu achei harov, and will go according to the majority. So he says, I think this could be considered to be something that will go according to the majority. It's very interesting because he says in the very same shir that the majority, for instance, cannot force the minority to build a shul, let's say, inside the building, because it has to be something which is actually normal to do in a building. And though the right place to daven is in a shul and not in the building, so in that case it has to be something normal. He decides that this is considered to be normal, that having the tama is already something which is normal. Many say, as opposed to him, it cannot be a normal thing to do because so little people, so few buildings and neighbors do these things in Israel. So although it's very popular, it might be a very good investment, but only a few people do that. So in that case, it's hard to believe that this will be a minhag. But he says, no, this is a minhag. The question is that he deals with is, by the way, just supporting those who are against the pressure wise. So in Source 17, the Maharik says that although the majority could decide things, but he says, "Ein koach biyad shum rashi kahal, the koshik in rashi kila lechadesh shum haskama chadasha, some kind of new agreement, mebli reshut kulam." You have to have the permission of absolutely everyone, or at least have some kind of vad that everyone will decide about them. But you cannot do this thing with some kind of new haskama, new agreement, without everyone agreeing for it. And Rav Asher Weiss himself, so he says, wait a second, so in that case, if we go according to the majority, so what is the majority according to Halacha? Majority according to Halacha is 51% opposed to 49%. That is enough. So where does this 66% come from? So he says that no, we should keep the 66%. Because since this is something which is kind of unique, you're forcing people to now spend a lot of money for renovations, and you have constructions around you, the air is not as clean as it's supposed to be when you have constructions around you, and it's not good, so we'll have to have a bigger majority, and also, in addition, since we have here the inspector, so also the inspector himself will evaluate and decide whether this is a good idea or not. He brings, for instance, a case that there was a building that wanted to have the Tama. However, they had a person there who was Rechmanai Tzano Aleinu, very, very sick. And the doctor said that he doesn't have such a long time to live. So he says that in this case, no, he says, I don't think the majority could force the minority. Which is, halakhically speaking, is very, very strange. I mean, maybe with common sense, it's 100% correct. But he says that halakhically speaking, it's hard to distinguish between this case and that case. If the majority could do it, they could do it. He says, no. One is one neighbor out of many that doesn't feel well, he's sick, and he has a few years to live. So he more or less says, wait until Chas Shalom. But we see that it's not simple.
What's going to come first? Is it going to die or the earthquake?
Or the earthquake. So Hashem Yishmor, let's see. So anyway, according to Rosh Weiss and other Batidin as well, this is included among the things that the majority can force the minority, and because of that, you could do Tama. So if you want to do Tama, so you have to know which basin to go to. That's also, no, it is actually very important to decide. And in many buildings, so they also have in the contract, if you know that there will be some dispute, you go to this and this basin. My building apparently is in the basin of Rosh Weiss, apparently, so. Right. We don't need Tama, Baruch Hashem, but still. Okay, that's it for today. Well, so for the next week with
just
the riddle.
Just a note regarding next Friday. As of now, Shir is planned for July 1st. We might be moving it to Thursday.
Maybe, yeah.
An email, believe it or not, will go out to email
everybody. Okay. Shkoyach. I just want to stop.